You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
When you really love someone, you feel good that they're around.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, from whom no secret is hid, and with whom there is plenty of mercy, look upon us this day out of the kindness of your heart, as we come to know you in your Son Jesus, to forgive our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, to put us on the way of faith in you, and to set us on the road which leads to life with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Whenever I leave the office for any length of time, my secretaries know what I'm going to say. First of all, hold the fort. And then, when the cat's away. I never get to finish that last statement because everybody laughs. They know that they will probably be working harder while I'm gone than when I am there. The statement which I never get to finish, as most of you probably know, is, when the cat's away, the mice will play. When we say that, we are not usually talking about four-legged animals. Proverbs about animals have come into being over the years because they are parables illustrating the actions of people. When the boss is not around, some people who do not hesitate to call themselves workers rejoice. They think they can fritter away their time because he isn't there to see them, as some children in school misbehave when the teacher leaves the room. Supervision makes quite a difference. Whether it is in industry or government or wherever, there are a lot of people who do sloppy work if no one is checking on them every step of the way. Waste and dishonesty prevail where strict supervision is lacking. It has been known to happen in the best ordered institutions, with complicated and detailed sets of books that are checked periodically by high-priced auditors. It is said that some people are only as honest as they have to be. Many people keep the law only to the extent they must. Red lights and stop signs are meant to make streets safer for everyone, but there are always those who ignore the stop signs, as long as there's a pretty good chance they won't be caught. Speed laws are observed much more strictly when a patrol car appears in view. It helps to prevent crime if law enforcement officers are visible. To know the police are walking the streets or cruising in patrol cars keep some people from breaking the laws. When it comes to supervision, let me call your attention today to a fact of life which has been in force for a long time and nothing has happened to change it. People have not always paid attention to this fact of life, but that doesn't change anything. In a hymn to the providence and supervision of God, the psalmist said, "The Lord God looks down from heaven. He sees the whole human race. From where he sits, he watches all who live on the earth, he who molds every heart and takes note of all men do." Not so long ago, in the very land and even in the very language in which these words were written, a discussion was going on between some professional people discussing the existence of God. A younger man in the group, in a brash way, said, "There is no God." He argued that there is no proof for the existence of God, or any evidence that he really is in charge of things. Just at the time when he was going full steam, another man, a thoroughgoing professional in his own craft, said quietly, "There are times when I lie awake at night thinking about these things. I don't really know whether there is a God or not, but if there is, it scares me. It would be a waste of time, both yours and mine, to try to prove to you that there is a God. When the Son of God came, he did not waste his time or that of his hearers trying to prove to them something that everybody knows very well, deep down in his bones. Evidently, the Lord did not want to insult the intelligence of people in his time, not to speak about their piety, by trying to prove to them what everybody knows. But you can be sure that the old proverb still has some truth in it. When the cat's away, the mice will play. There are still people around, lots of them, who imagine that God has taken a vacation, or they've succeeded in putting him on Medicare. They've got to watch out for other people, but as far as God is concerned, they can get away with anything. I've got news for you. The exact opposite is the truth. When it comes to the living God, not just some supreme being you've imagined or constructed in your own mind, but the living God, you're not going to get away with anything. St. Paul said, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap." The world has sown the wind, and now it reaps the whirlwind. People sow the seeds and reap the harvest which they have planted. When it comes up weeds, they complain. But that's exactly what they have planted. A good crop of weeds is not hard to grow, but it's a lot more expensive than productive grain. Bad seed produces a disappointing crop. Nobody who planted that seed can complain about it. You can get away with a lot of things, but nothing gets by God. The psalmist was speaking from experience. The Lord God looks down from heaven. He sees the whole human race. From where he sits, he watches all who live on the earth. He who molds every heart and takes note of all men do. The steps people take to save themselves do not work. A large army, said the psalmist, will not keep a king safe, nor does the hero escape by his great strength. It is a delusion to rely on the horse for safety. For all its power, it cannot save. That's a fact of life. Nobody's going to get around it. Not even you. Of course, when the cat's away, the mice will play. You do things a lot differently if you know you're being observed. It still makes a big difference to know who is observing you. When company is coming, a woman likes a little warning so that she can straighten things up a bit and do a little extra cleaning. She does not want people to think that the house always looks that way. When guests come for a meal, people bring out the good dishes and silver and tablecloth. Otherwise, they relax. People often have a special set of manners they bring out when certain people are around. Oddly enough, the better people know us, the less we care about making a good impression. People have been known to be thoughtless and rude to members of their own family if a stranger is not around to observe. When told by a real estate agent that the pastor was going to buy the house next door, a man said, "Hey, now I'll have to watch my language when I'm out in the yard. We don't want certain people to know what we're really like, how we really act and talk. To make a good impression, we modify our actions as well as our speech." Obviously, people are not conscious of the fact that God is watching them all the time. Others may not know, but he does. Others may not see, but he does. Others may not hear, but he does. Others may not even be offended, but he is. The psalmist said, "God watches people everywhere and knows what they are doing. He examines the good and the wicked alike." People must not really believe that. Otherwise, they would not act as they do. If you had any idea that your mother or father were in a position to observe some of the things that you're engaged in right now, would you be doing them? If you had any idea that God was looking on, would you be acting as you are, talking as you do, thinking as you are accustomed to think? D. deep down inside, even though they may recognize the existence of God, people have a hard time accepting the fact that God really knows them, let alone knowing everything about them. They have a deep-seated feeling that they're going to have to give account to God someday for what they are and what they have done, but they still have a sneaking hunch that he will somehow remember the good things and forget the bad. Their hunch is wrong. God knows everything. He remembers everything. I don't know why that should be regarded as beyond his capabilities. In a grocery store, we're accustomed to the universal code these days, those little black and white lines that appear on all packages. The checkout clerk passes each item over the scanner. When you get the sales slip, there printed out for you is the brand name, the variety, and size, as well as the price of each item you purchase. There, for example, is Kraft French dressing, 8 ounces, 79 cents. It's quite remarkable to know how all that information was gleaned and transferred from those little black and white lines. That information is not only on your sales slip, it's also stored in the computer, so that the store manager knows not only how much the total sales were on each register, but how many of each item were sold. Using the main computer, the manager of the whole chain of stores can know the whole inventory, markup, sales, and a variety of other information. Don't tell me that the Lord God can't know or remember, when even an ordinary computer system can do this every day of the week. The computer is purely mechanical. The living God is intelligent with a personality, so to speak, even though it's not exactly like yours and mine. Thank God that he isn't like you and me. I thank God every day that he is there, bigger than I could ever be, big in every way. He has everything and everyone in the palm of his hand, to use a human figure. Even though we act like practical atheists, he is still God. And he is still there. The Lord God looks down from heaven. He sees the whole human race. From where he sits, he watches all who live on the earth. When my grandchildren come to the house, they will run and hide under the kitchen table. They cannot see me, and they assume that I cannot see them. While I'm looking around, one of them is likely to say, "We're under here." You're not hiding from God. You may think you are, but it's rather childish to think so. You may forget that he is around, but he has not forgotten you. You may ignore him, but he won't ignore you. You may treat God the way you treat the telephone. It just hangs there silently, a lifeless object, unless you decide to use it. At times, you can be so oblivious to the phone's presence that when it rings, you're jolted by it. Once in a while, God has to jolt people to remind them of his presence. Some people never call upon God except in time of real need, an emergency. Their talks with him, even in an emergency, are more or less formal and uncomfortable because their relationship with God is not very close. If that's the way you treat God, don't be surprised if he calls you to attention. God is not too impressed with you. But that does not stop him from caring. He cares, all right. I have that from him, and I bring it to you. This is God's word to all of us. Surprising as it may be, God cares about you no matter how far you've wandered from him, or how little attention you've paid to him. He cares enough about you to bring you this good word at this time, to make it a good time for you. Surprising and jolting as it may be, the good news of God is in his Son, Jesus Christ. He sent that Son of his, eternal and unique, from heaven to earth to be the Savior of everyone, including you. God is not just a watchdog, a super spy. He's the living God of heaven and earth, and the loving Savior of everyone who receives by faith the one whom he has sent. It is the will of God, said Jesus, that you believe in me. Believe him, my friend. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, he said, that whosoever believes in him should not go the way of this dying world, but have what God has to give, eternal life. Christ died for you. Your very human inattention to God brought him to that very human death, by which he atoned for your very human sins, whatever they are. He paid the price for everything and for all. He redeemed you to God by his blood. That's the good word of God to you today. I did not make up that word. I'm just bringing it to you today. I thank God every day that he is there and that he loves the whole world enough to send his son Jesus for our salvation, to give us this good word in language we can understand. We may not understand everything about him, but we can certainly understand how he feels in his heart toward all of us. When you really love someone, you feel good when they're around. When you're afraid, their presence gives you support and encouragement. If you're sad, they give you comfort and help and hope. More than anyone in the whole world, the living God is around and to be reckoned with. More than anyone in the whole world, he is the Father who cares and loves and forgives and stands by to help. The Lord Jesus Christ said to people who were not ashamed to be called his disciples, "Remember, I'm always with you." Speaking for himself and for others who come to know God as he really is, the psalmist said, "The living God looks down from heaven. He sees the whole human race. From where he sits, he watches all who live on the earth. He who molds every heart and takes note of all men do." Our soul awaits the living God. He is our help and shield. Our hearts rejoice in him. We trust in his holy name. Lord God, let your love rest on us as our hope has rested in you. As you can see, you don't have to run away from God. You don't have to pursue a life looking for loopholes, as so many people do, following that old prescription, when the cat's away, the mice will play. Be a man, not a mouse. A man stands up before the living God, not defiantly, but respectfully, not as a slave, but as a son, his heart uncovered, saying humbly, and yet with complete confidence, "Lord God, let your love rest on us as our hope is in you." Amen.